I want to read just a few words to you from John's Gospel. If you haven't got your Bible with you, don't worry. You can listen along. I want to read some words from John chapter 19. Now, we know it's been quite a long evening, and we will try and be as succinct as we can. But at the same time, we want the boys and girls to really be able to listen and really to be able to enjoy what's going to happen just next. But we want to read God's Word first and to hear what it has to say even to your hearts. John chapter 19, it's a very long passage, so just for the sake of time, we're going to dip in and out of this passage. I want us to touch on some of the major, the very important issues that are found in it. John chapter 19, and it simply says, "Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him." Boys and girls, that means that they took the Lord Jesus and they took him off his back. They took a great whip and they beat him until his back was raw and bleeding. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." That, of course, was a lie already. He didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. But then, boys and girls, moving down to about halfway through verse 16, it says there, "And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" And then, very quickly, moving to verse 28, and we will soon be finished. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' There was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost." We'll just end our reading there. I want just to turn to the Lord and seek his face and his help before we say anything more tonight regarding this passage of God's word. Boys and girls, I need you just now to sit up nice and straight and to close your eyes. And we'll ask the Lord just to bless. Every eye closed. Dear Lord, we just come to thee now in our need, in our great need. And we ask, O Lord, for the infilling of the Spirit of God and help from on high. And help us, O Lord, to speak well of our Savior. And we do ask, O Lord, that thou would take this thy word and apply it to the hearts of men and women. And be those perhaps in, O Lord, tonight intending to go out as they come in. But thou, O Lord, knowest all. And if it be thy will at this time and this night that thou would draw them unto thyself. These things we ask. We plead with thee. And we thank thee, O Lord, that our pleading, Lord, can be light. Because thou art a God of mercy. These things we ask in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, mums and dads, this is a very solemn passage to be reading, to be sharing with you. It's John's account of those terrible events 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. But just for a moment or two, I want the wider church audience here to bear with me. I would like you just for a few moments to allow me to indulge myself. Allow me to get the boys and girls focused. Allow me to stimulate their minds and gather their thoughts. Because what I'm about to do tonight may seem to be going off at a complete tangent, may seem to be going off in the wrong direction from what we have been reading here. But let me assure you that tonight we will come full circle And we'll come right back to this wonderful passage about the death, the sacrifice made by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for a few minutes tonight, I want to teach the boys and girls a brand new language. Now, I know in Portadown here that you're very clever, and some of you might know some different languages. And anybody here can tell me and slip their hand up if you can speak in French? Are there any French people here? Even among the wider audience, I'm not going to put you to the test. Anybody can speak French? Bonjour to all the French people. You see how nice? I wasn't going to put you to the test. What about Spanish? Any Spanish? We'll get to the Polish in a minute. Okay. Spanish. Wow. Hola to the Spanish. Now, we're going to skip the Polish because I'll get a whole mouthful and I'll not understand a word of it. But okay, fellas. But what about Swahili? Where's the Swahili speakers tonight? Jambo to the Swahili people. Boys and girls, let me ask, if I was to teach you a brand new language tonight, how long do you think it would take me to teach you a brand new language? Put your hand up. If you can tell me how long would it take to teach a brand new language? There's a fellow way down there, yes. How long? Me, yes. Uh-huh. 2 hours. Have we got 2 hours? No. 2 hours. Anybody think, any other ideas? How long? Caleb? What?
1 hour.
1 hour. He's clever, you see. He's near the front. The ones at the front could do it in 5 minutes, you know. Okay. Well, we don't have that length of time tonight, boys and girls. We want to teach you a brand new language, and we need to do it inside about 5 minutes. And the brand new language that I want to teach the boys and girls and the mums and dads, because we don't want you left out, it's a language that you can really use straight away, immediately. Boys and girls, I want to share with you just for a few moments a brand new language, and it's the language known as sign language. Yes. Special language for people who are deaf. And boys and girls, there are 3 ways, mums and dads, to communicate with somebody who is deaf. First of all, you can communicate with a deaf person through lip reading. What they do is they can't hear the words, but they can look, they can see, they're looking, they're watching your every move, and they're trying to ascertain what you're saying. Can you just imagine, boys and girls, your television was broken, the sound was down, and your favorite program was on, and you're trying to work out what they were saying? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? But deaf people have a wonderful way of doing this. And they will watch to see what you're saying. So don't you be turning your head away. Don't you be ducking down. And you fellas in the front row, don't be growing big beards if you're not be able to see through to see your lips. Now I'm going to put you all to the test here. I'm going to see how good you are at lip reading. And I'm going to say something and the words are not going to come out. I want you to guess what I'm going to say. Are you watching me? Are you looking at me? Here we go. Who knows what I just said? I'll give you another go. I'll do it over to these poor creatures over here. Okay. Now there's a fellow at the top. He's nodding like mad. We'll go over here. One last chance for the boys and girls. Watch my lips now. Here we go. Last chance. What did I say? Put your hand up. Hands up if you know. Hands up. There's a girl down there with a nice, lovely hat on, yes? What did I say? She's turned around the other way. Oh, no. That girl there, yes? Say that to Sharon. What did I say? Pardon? I love you. Thank you very much. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Who thinks that I said I love you? A whole lot. But actually what I said was elephant stew. So, I don't know what you're thinking about. Okay, so it's so difficult. That's the first thing, boys and girls. Secondly, very quickly, we need to move on. The second way that you can communicate with a deaf person is through a thing known as finger spelling. And just for a couple of minutes, I'm going to very quickly teach you all how to finger spell the whole alphabet. Because if you can do that, then you can say anything to a deaf person as long as your spelling is good. So, very quickly, I want everybody to take part. This is an all-inclusive meeting tonight. In deaf community, you have what's known as your pointer finger. If you're right-handed, it's this one. If you're left-handed, it's this one. Okay? And in the deaf community, it is not rude to point to somebody or at somebody. I know, boys and girls, when you're out with your mum and dad doing the shopping, and you see somebody, you go, look, look, look. And mummy goes, no, 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 that's very rude. Don't point. But in deaf community, it's fine. If I want to speak about the piano, I point at the piano. If I want to speak about Mr. Elliot, I point at Mr. Elliot. If I want to speak about you, I point at you. So that's your pointer finger. And you really need this to learn the alphabet. So I want you all to put your pointer finger up. Not away up high now. Just about there. Everybody doing this? Not the... You've faced people well down, brother. You haven't, eh? Okay. Pointer finger just about there. We're going to teach you the first five letters that you need to know. And they are the five vowels. And they're on this hand. Really easy. You've got A, E, I am in the middle. O. Let's just stop at O for a minute. Look at that, girls. That's your wedding ring finger. You'll not forget that in a hurry. What? O. U. So there we go. A. E. I. O. You're not doing this. U. Okay. That's $5 already. Now, boys and girls, there's some other letters in the deaf alphabet, and they actually look like the way you would write them down. For example, and the first one I'm always embarrassed about because it's so lazy, even at this time at night, it lies about all over the place. It's the letter B. It doesn't sit up, it lies like that. That's the letter B. You've got A, you've got B. You've got the letter C. Can you do the letter C for me? There's the letter C. And if you put a back on it, it suddenly becomes the letter D. And if you take it up to the top, it suddenly becomes the letter P. Can you do that? Letter P. Very good. And then if you do that and put a little tail on it, that's the letter Q. Very good. And then that's the letter T. That's the letter W. Can you do a W for me? And that's the letter... Wow, you must have done this before. Letter X. And the letter Y. So you've got B, C, put it back on it, D, slip it up to the top, P, Q, T, W. Where's your X? They're still doing their B's. X. Y. We're nearly through. Now there's five more letters, boys and girls, and these letters look like you're putting them down on a page. So what we'll do is you have your pointer finger, and we'll make a nice page out of our other hand. Make sure it's nice and clean. Okay? Nice page with your other hand. And we're going to put down the letter L. Look at that. Looks like an L, doesn't it? Letter L. And then you've got, after L, you've got the letter M. Look at that. Looks like an M. Up, down, up, down. Letter M. And then the letter N. And then you've got the letter R. Little tiny R. You set it down on the page as well. R. And then the letter V. Set it on the page as well. We're nearly through. So let's go back to the beginning and we'll pick up on all the ones we've left out so far. We've got A. Remember the vowel? A. B. C. D. E. Oh, here's some new ones. F. G. Looks like a G in an old typewriter. All the older ones are nodding. Yes, that does. And the younger ones are going, hmm. G. H. I am in the middle. Now, I's got a best friend, and that's the letter J, and they stay together. I am in the middle, and J goes straight down like that and curls around the bottom. J. What's that? K. L. M. N. O, for all you married people. P. Q. R on the page. Here's another new one. S, little fingers. T, last file. U, V, W, X, Y, Z. These people look exhausted over here. They're really tired looking. Now, boys and girls, what you haven't picked up on there, you can share with each other afterwards. But then the third way to communicate, and we're getting back to this passage, is full sign language. This is the stuff you see whenever the news is on, and there's a man in the corner, and he's going like mad, and you're going, wow, I wish I could do that. And I'm the same, because I'm not very good at it. But there is full sign language, boys and girls, and this is the exciting part, because many of these signs, it's almost obvious. You can almost guess, oh, yes, of course, that's what that means. give you a few examples. Let's take some pets that you might have at home. Some nice little pets. Now, I have to come over to the side here because this is a very visual language. And that pulls us in a way. But boys and girls, I want you to think of some of the pets that you might have at home. Okay? And here's the first one. What pet do you think this is? Slip your hand up if you know. What pet is this? Any idea? I heard over there. Yes. Are you going to say that, a dog? Brilliant. A dog. What about this one here? What's that? Cats up, you telling them. A cat. Okay. Now this time, I want you just to watch my hand, not my whole arm. The problem is it's all attached, but just watch my hand. What little pet would this be? A fish. Wow, that's super. A fish. She's shy, isn't she? A fish. One more. A bunny rabbit, yes. If you did it that way, now that's a donkey, you get into all kinds of problems. Okay? But boys and girls, I had the privilege of going away and learning a little bit of this language because we have in our children meeting one little boy who can't hear, and we decided we must try and do something. But whenever I was away learning this language, boys and girls, and I didn't fold your arms. Whenever I was away learning this language, the teacher that taught us, she, of course, was deaf as well. She taught us a word that really spoke to my heart. One sign only. And it was the sign for the name Jesus. Now, of course, you can spell it out. J-E-S-U-S. But there's only one sign that deaf community use for the name Jesus. And it's simply that. Simply that. And boys and girls, that sign is a great reminder. It doesn't remind us of his birth in the little lowly manger. It doesn't even remind us of his miracles and the great sermons that he spoke to the multitudes. But it reminds us of his death on the cross of Calvary. And do you know, boys and girls, in deaf community, you cannot use the name of Jesus without being reminded of what he came to do for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful, if you think of it that way? Oh, that our language would be the same. Oh, how often do you hear the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, being trampled in the mud, being used as a joke, being used when somebody's in bad form. Oh, that we would be reminded every time we hear that name of what it's really all about. He came to die. And boys and girls, just very briefly getting back to this passage. Now, I know time was completely gone, but we've read a very solemn passage tonight, boys and girls, and it's about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, all week long we've been reminding the boys and girls about that special event in our memory verse, where it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." But if you look at that awful death, I want just to point out a few things from this passage to your hearts tonight with regards to it. Verse 2 speaks about a crown. A crown. But it's a crown of thorns that has been placed on the Savior's head. You know, those wicked men, if they only wanted to make fun of the Savior, they'd have put a crown of feathers upon his head. But they wanted to harm him and to hurt him. They wanted to see his blood flow. And so they put on his head a crown of thorns, boys and girls. Of course, the first mention of thorns is found back in Genesis, where when man sinned, the ground was cursed and up came thorns. And so in a sense, there's a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing the sins of us all on the cross of Calvary. Because in verse 4 it says that he did not die for his own sins. He had no sins. Verse 4 says, this is his enemy speaking now, "I find no fault in him." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die for his own sins. He died for your sins, and he died for my sins. The other two men that were there, those thieves, oh yes, they were there. They were supposed to be there. They were tried properly. They were guilty of their crimes, and they were being punished for their crimes, but not the Savior. It was all false pretenses, lies, and innuendo. He died there for your sins and for mine. You know, boys and girls, his death and his crucifixion, mums and dads, was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. It wasn't just something that happened over that weekend where the enemy, the old Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews suddenly seemed to have the upper hand and they made the most of it. Not at all. This event had been planned from eternity past. God knew all about it, boys and girls. And he decided to hold back and let cruel men take his only son and put him to death for you and for me. He did it out of love. Wondrous love. And you know, boys and girls, this had been prophesied clearly for hundreds, thousands of years. And even this week we've had the privilege to share with the boys and girls. We even took the life of Joseph. And again and again and again, we were able to point to Joseph and then point away to the Savior and say, look at that. There's a picture. There's a comparison. See, the Savior came to die. He came to live a perfect life, but he came to die. And he came to die for your sins and for my sins. And boys and girls, even at his birth, he came to die. And the very day he was born, he came to die. Do you ever think of those wise men? Boys and girls, you haven't got your arms full. I'm going to go home here with a whole big boot full of toys and prizes because they're giving them out at the end to the good ones. And I'll get them all. But boys and girls, do you remember the wise men that came to visit the Lord Jesus Christ? Whenever I was a wee boy, it's funny how you think and how you measure things up. I thought to myself, these fellows weren't really that wise at all. Because I had seen people bringing presents to little babies. And they would bring things like little blankies or little toys or little rattles or a lovely little baby grow. I know what you women are like. You get into the shop and it's all the baby grows. And we'll get them something when they're a wee bit up. But these wise men didn't bring anything like that at all. They brought three gifts. They brought gold. What's that all about? Gold is the stuff of kings in the Bible. These men were wise. They had an insight that this was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They brought frankincense as well. That sweet smelling, beautiful savor. Oh, to take a breath of that in would do you part of good. That's a picture of the Savior. His fragrance, his sweetness, his wonder. Oh, to take him in would do you well tonight. And then what was the third gift, boys and girls, that they brought? Who knows the answer to that? Gold, frankincense, and there's a girl at the very back. She's so far away, she's nearly in Lurgan. Where are you? Hello, what was the third thing? Myrrh. Now, it wasn't a myrrh that you threw your hair in, isn't that right? No. It was a special ointment. And this ointment, boys and girls, myrrh, was used in Bible times to anoint those who had died so that the smell of the decomposing body wouldn't stink the whole place out. This was given to a newborn baby because he came to die. The arrows all pointed that way. But in closing tonight, I want just to draw you to verse 5. Because in verse 5, there's a little statement made and it says, behold the man. And tonight, boys and girls, mums and dads, we've been speaking about the Savior. We've been reminding you of the sign for his name. And I wonder tonight, at the close of this meeting, will you go out of here saying he was just a man? Oh yes, a wonderful story. The whole background was lovely, but he's just a man. And that's all I see him as, just a man. Or, and we didn't read it tonight for the sake of time, verse 14. It says something different. It doesn't say, behold the man there. It says, behold your king. Now it's getting personal. Is he your king tonight? Have you bowed the knee? Have you recognized him as Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Have you said to him, I have been living in sin, I have been serving sin, I have been living for self, and I ought to be living for you? Oh, tonight that he would be your King, your Lord, and your Savior. What did we learn in our memory verse? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, maybe that's how you are tonight, Christ died for you. Trust that God will bless his word to all of our hearts this night. And if you do need the Lord, and if you do know you need the Lord, do speak to any of us. We'll be delighted to speak to you more about these things and show you what a wonderful Savior he is. Amen.